the 530th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos, back in your ear holes and eye holes, episode 530 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to Golden Pineapple, one of our YouTube viewers, friends, the Golden Pineapple, excuse me, who was praising my co-host, but calling him an absolute beast. But really, the Golden Pineapple is the one who put it all out in the line here. He took a plus 1,000 parlay on regional picks at Gumby. My co-host had given out and it hit. So he's very happy about that. And if you're listening, watching, you should be happy too, because we're covering, it's Monday, so we're covering a regional event for you, LFA 180. So anyway, this goes out to Golden Pineapple. I am not the Golden Pineapple. I am Jeff Chalks Fox, one of your hosts here. As I said, we're doing LFA 180, and then we're going to give you some bonus content tomorrow. We're going to do a Cage Warriors fight card, because that's what the people have demanded. I've crunched the data. You people love LFA and Cage Warriors and Octagon. So we shall continue covering it as long as you are subscribing and watching on YouTube and on whatever podcast catcher you choose. So let's bring in the man of the hour. Hopefully this won't be an hour long, but the man who has all the goods for LFA and every regional promotion. Hopefully he's going to toot his horn a little bit about this past week. And it's Daniel Gumby Reeland. Hello.
I was actually getting ready to toot the Golden Pineapple's horn.
Yes,
like, go ahead. I know we didn't coordinate this at all, because I was actually going to tell you to dedicate the episode to him, because What kind of maniac hears me giving out dogs? And don't get me wrong, I love giving out dogs, but maybe that's the problem. Here's me give out three straight underdogs on a card, and he's like, let's parlay all those bad boys together, and gets 10-1, and every single one of them hit. That's a maniac D-gen move. I mean, like, if I had the sound effects from the Bit Bosses show, we would have given that a real men of D-gens moment for the Golden Pineapple.
We would have had gunshots last episode, and we would have had that too. So, Gumby's wants us to increase our budget and get a soundboard. All right, so that was Octagon. That's the one that you picked all the dogs in, right? So you did good with Octagon.
Yeah, so I gave we did a 5-fight preview on Octagon. I gave 4 underdogs. 3 of them hit. One of them looked terrible. And then I picked the favorite in the main event, and he hit too. So that was 4-1 night. Overall, cashed out at like plus 3.5 units or something like that. LFA was a little bit worse, mostly because one of the fights I liked the odds on best dropped off. The ladies fight that was on that card that we broke down. So it wound up only being 4. All really wide odds. So I went 2-2, but that was like down a unit and a half or so. So on the weekend in total, that was 6-3 and up about 2 units. So overall, and we're up to about almost 16 units up on the year too. So
unreal. Yeah,
the regional MMA, man.
So it's worth doing the work then. Is that what you think is making you hit at such a high rate that you actually know what you're doing, and maybe a lot of these bookies or people betting on these fights don't really know? They're just casual.
Yeah. I think the biggest piece here, and this goes for any regional promotion, you could talk about the highest to high or the lowest to low, is that, like, just on regional promotions, you have to imagine the people who set the lines on these things are not up all night watching fights from Ben Parrish. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to talk about Big Tuna in a second. They're not up watching Big Tuna fights all night. And he's further up the card than some of the people they're giving us lines on. They're not watching these guys. They're not familiar with these guys. They don't know anything about them other than their record and who they've fought before. And my guess is, based on where I've seen most of these lines get set, they set them basically based on the Tapology prediction survey that they have at the bottom. And so, like, if that's what they're setting him on, and I think a lot of those guys on Tapology, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, are probably doing it based on record and who they fought to. If that's what they're setting the lines on, then there are obviously wild margins for errors, right? Because like that's a way you can handicap some things, but you can't handicap all of them, especially like if we're talking about the Brazilian regional scene or the Czech regional scene. Like those are places where if you get a little bit of film, you can see that there are some wild discrepancies based on their record and actual skill level.
Yeah, you see some of these opponents that people have beaten. You're like, whoa, they're wearing like a UFC.
They fought grandma. They fought grandmas.
Yeah, like the grandma, exactly. The grandma. Yeah, so we, I've done kind of, I've done the paperwork part of it, and Gumby's done the eyeballs, boots on the groundwork to get you ready for this LFA card, and he's going to win us money, right? We don't know the odds, though, correct?
No, we don't. But as I said, I can usually get pretty darn close on a lot of these, with the exception of that time I badly messed up Andy Clamp and thought he'd be a favorite, and we wound up getting him at a 2-1 dog price.
And he came through as well. He came through and hit.
I wouldn't bring him back. I wouldn't bring him back up if he didn't.
Yeah. Are you this good with NCAA tournament as well, Gumby?
So this is the year I've watched the least amount of college basketball in my whole life. I'm a Gonzaga fan. They were a little bit down this year. They didn't have a lot of guys who've been on their team for a while. Like two of their better players are transfers. It's little Nembhard, Andrew Nembhard's little brother.
Yep. And
Canadian. And Graham Ike, who came from like Montana or something. Wyoming. He played for Wyoming first. So like a couple of transfer guys. Wasn't super interested in them as a team. So I just watched less this year. I'm in the 91st percentile in all brackets on ESPN. So
nice.
Yeah.
You know, Gonzaga's into the Sweet 16, right?
Bingo. Yeah. What could be better than that?
Everything's coming up Milhouse for Gumby. All right. So as I said, we're doing LFA 180 and we're doing Cage Wars. Then next week, the week after this, boy, oh boy, it's packed with the non-UFC fight cards, isn't it? We got PFL. We got Cage Wars. We got LFA. We got KSW.
And you know how I hate PFL. Because now they're Bellator, and you know, I hate Bellator.
They got the stink on them. Yep.
And they actually have a really great card. I feel like you could do two episodes on PFL if you really wanted to, because like even the prelims rule on that fight card.
PFL one, they're kicking off the new season. Yeah. Well, they've got an infusion of new talent, I guess. Right. There's a mixture of Bellator fighters mixed in with the PFL guys. So,
and UFC fighters, Talia Santos is fighting.
Right. That's right. Next week. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Gumby's been praising PFL a bit in the Discord. So get in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. All right, before we jump in, I'm going to tell you about two of our sponsors, how about? And then we will give you some picks without interrupting. First, Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money, which is very important. That's probably the worst part of playing fantasy sports. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. I think the main reward is not having to chase your deadbeat friends for their entry fee. So get on Cut, check out the custom SGPN bets that we put up there. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's KUTT.com. And of course, use the promo code SGPN for 10% deposit, a bonus. Underdog Fantasy, you want more bonuses? Underdog Fantasy's got them for you too. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do is pick between 2 and 5 players in any sport you want. Pick what stat of theirs is going to go higher or lower based on what Underdog has it set at. And then you can win 100 times your money in one single night. Boom. Within a couple hours. Well, that sounds good, and why would it not? Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with my promo code, Gummy's promo code, our promo code, MMASGPN, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, let's get into LFA. As I will tell you, the deets, LFA 180, Fernandez versus Siguiera. It is going down Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, which is good. Won't run up against the UFC or the other regional event we're going to do tomorrow. On UFC Fight Pass, another plus. You don't have to search around on dodgy websites for their feed. It's in the Broadbent Arena in Louisville, Kentucky, in a cage, 14 bouts. We're going to do, you said, all six of the main card ones. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. Prelims. Anything interesting on the prelims? There's someone named Alvi on it. From Alvi's part of the world. Is that one of his many children?
I don't know. I will shout out Naira Rep is fighting. I've been high on Naira Rep for a while. She wound up running into the buzzsaw that is now champion Shannon Clark in her last fight. So like she took a step back, but I think she's probably one of the better regional fighters at that weight class, especially being that her record doesn't look really great. I think she could totally rattle off like three or four wins that we could see on Contender Series in like 2025.
All right, there you go. Okay, let's start things off with main card. As I said, did I tell you the start time? 9 p.m.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah,
main card is probably midnight, something like that.
Yeah, this is gonna be late.
It's gonna be a late night, but that's okay. All the degens in the Discord don't care. A familiar name in this card. Actually, no, this is the other parish, isn't it? No, this is the correct parish. Ben.
This
parish,
is Big Tuna.
Right?
Yeah.
That's Big Tuna, right? His brother's on the card next, right? I assume it's his brother.
I don't know if that's his brother or not. They're the same age. Exactly, so they have to be twins. The yeah, I'm pretty sure they're both 31.
Wow. All right. Ben, Big Tuna Parish versus Alec Lorenz. This is 3 5-minute rounds at 205 pounds. Both of these gentlemen are from the United States of America. Lorenz is 3-1 with 3 knockouts. He's been knocked out one time, so he owes his rounds. Obviously, 1-0 in LFA. He's won 2 straight fights. He's not lost a fight since October of 2021. 5 years younger than Parish, 3 inches taller. Big Tuna Parish. We've spoken of him before. He's 6-4, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He owes his rounds as well. 0-1 in LFA, 1-3 over his last 4, 2-4 over his last 6, won his last fight via TKO, 1-1 in Bellator, was regional champion, used to fight down at middleweight. All right, let her rip. I'm going to find out about this other Parrish guy.
All right, so Ben Parrish, Big Tuna, largely busted onto the scene with a wild knockout of Christian Edwards, who is largely seen as this like hot prospect on Bellator's scene. And Ben Parrish, he's a chunky guy. Despite being a light heavyweight, he's still a chunky guy. He's or maybe loose chunky, maybe both somehow. But like Ben Parrish, not really a menacing looking dude. And he went out there and knocked out Christian Edwards. Cause this is the thing about Ben Parrish. He's a big left hand for the most part and nothing else. His wrestling defense isn't great. His striking defense isn't stellar. His footwork's all right. That's kind of how he gets the power underneath him, but like, he's got big hands and that's pretty much it. And I think he's going to come in here as a big dog because since that knockout of Christian Edwards, his record looks atrocious, like truly bad. Since then, and Alec Lorenz is a guy who I think LFA is trying to hype up. Like, I think they really like him. He's won 3 in a row. He's just come to the LFA and he's like, he looks like you want a light heavyweight prospect to look, right? Like, he's big, broad shoulders. But here's the problem. I'm going to go with Ben Parrish here. Of course I'm going with Big Tuna. I think he's going to be like a plus 300 dog, probably, because of the looks, because of the resume, because of everything. But the thing about Alec Lorenz is, first of all, I don't know if he's going to shoot the takedowns. And if he did, he'd probably have a pretty easy time. But I don't think he's going to shoot the takedown. Instead, I think he's going to go in there and brawl. And while he's a much better technical striker than Ben Parrish is, there are some issues with his defensive striking. Like, he has a little bit of issues when it comes to making sure that he covers back up his chin after he throws combinations. And with that being said, I think Ben Parrish is the worst kind of guy to fight if you're going to get sloppy and brawl at any point in time. I think Ben Parrish has the ability to turn that off. So if he comes in at +300, give me Ben Parrish for the weird fat guy knockout.
Oh, weird fat guy knockout. Could that be a title of the episode, Gumby? It's a pretty good title, don't you think?
I love
weird. I'm typing it down. Weird fat guy knockout. All right. We're going to the other Parrish. Derek Parrish. He was born a month later.
Dustin Parrish?
Ben Parrish. So, yes, Dustin Parrish was. So, either it was a really horrible pregnancy, labor, and she was in labor for a month between twins, or they're not related, or maybe they're cousins. I don't know. I think they might be from different parts of Indiana and Kentucky, or I don't know. Inconclusive is my answer. How about that? They look so much like their pictures are similar too, though. That's the thing. Have you had Big Tuna on your podcast before? I feel like you have.
I haven't. Nah.
Well, have him on and find out what's going on here. Or maybe we'll hear on the broadcast what's going on. All right. Of course, we're talking about Dustin Parrish. He's a welterweight. He is from the United States of America versus Victor Valenzuela. He's not from Valenzuela. He's from Chile. All right. His name is Psicosis, like the wrestler, the masked luchador. He is 10-3. This would be Valenzuela. 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his LFA debut. He's won 4 straight fights and 5 of 6. 3 straight wins have come via finish. He's not lost since July of 2021. This is he made his debut in professional MMA in 2013. 2 years younger than Parrish. Parrish, 10-4-1. 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. This is his LFA debut as well. 2 straight wins. 4 of his last 5 have come via win. All of his wins and the loss have come via finish over that span. He's not lost since October 2020. Used to fight down at lightweight and up at middleweight. 2014 Pro MMA debut, 2-inch tight over Valenzuela. So a couple guys more than a decade into the game are getting their shot at the big regional scene here.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Valenzuela will wind up being a pretty large favorite here. We'll say like -225 or something like that. We'll get, you know, +200 on the return for Parrish. And I'm going to go with the favorite on this one. I think Parrish has got kind of like a nice double leg. And if you watch like some of his fights, he finishes it with kind of ease. But I think that's kind of a worrisome fact because I don't really know what would happen if he got stuffed. And it's a big step up in level of competition here against Valenzuela. So like to go from, you know, like easily taking people down to having to struggle for his takedowns, I think is going to be a problem for him because Valenzuela is actually pretty good at stuffing takedowns. He fought Shinzo Anzai in his last fight, who you might remember from his like short stint in the UFC.
Yep.
He had like a wrestling background fighting out of Japan. And Valenzuela like stuffed every single one of his takedowns and forced him to box with him and just pieced him up on the feet. Valenzuela is really fast with the hands. He's like he's fought some like pure striking matches before. I can't remember if they were like Muay Thai or kickboxing or boxing, but like I know he's taken that route as well. So I think he's gonna be way sharper on the feet, and I think he just stuffed the takedowns here. Parrish looks kind of like he's worried about getting hit in a lot of his fights. Up until he hits his double leg. So like if he can't hit the double leg and he gets forced back to the feet, I think Valenzuela is going to have his way. So yeah, give me Valenzuela, probably a decent sized favorite here, but you know, probably still value there on him.
I hope you, I was hoping you would do a Parrish parlay, brothers from other mothers, but no, not the case here. Sad.
Nope.
Hey, he's obligated to pick winners, so he can't just make funny parlays for my sake, all right, for my humor, my entertainment. He's here for you fans. All right, let's move down to bantamweights. Angelo Robles. There's a baseball player named that, isn't there? He plays for Washington. Victor Robles, believe.
Robles,
Robles, right. Angelo Robles, that's what I meant to say. The baseball player didn't pan out. He was, I think I might have had him at one point because I thought he might, you know, be worth something in fantasy, but no. He's fighting a Israelian Kibedi Gordon. And I told you the weight class. I told you we're doing 3 5-minute rounds. Now I will tell you about the fighters. Gordon, KG is a nickname, stolen from Kevin Garnett. He's 5-1 with 1 knockout, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 0-1 in LFA. He did win his last fight. He's fight down at flyweight and up at featherweight, 5 years younger than Robles. Tiger. You can just call him Tiger. That's easier, right? He's 3-0 with 2 submissions. This is his LFA debut, so he's going to step up right away early in his career. Used to fight at featherweight, and that's all I got on him. Do you have much on this gentleman? He's only fought 3 times professionally.
Yeah, he comes from a Golden Glove boxing background. Like, he won Golden Gloves in Indiana, and then in addition to that, I do think he has some wrestling in his background too. Although I didn't dig too deep, but it looks like, based on the way he competes, he does. He threw.
He's an Ode Osborne, maybe then.
Yeah, but he prefers to do jiu-jitsu in this case. Robles does, whereas Ode would rather strike. Somebody caught his kick in, like, I want to say it was his first or second fight. And granted, he's only had like three of them total, but they caught his kick in his first or a second. What he did was he just leaped forward, did a front roll, and grabbed a knee bar. And that, to me, is insane levels of jiu-jitsu. I think he's one of those guys who people are just going to be like jacked up about. And so you're going to see big odds on him. I'm going to fade him, despite the fact that I just said all those nice things about him. I think he's going to be like a negative 200, maybe negative 220 favorite. Gordon, like plus 175, plus 180. And I really like what I've seen out of Kibbity. Like, if somebody's going to try to get you with jiu-jitsu and going to try to get you with wrestling, that's exactly the kind of game plan you want to go without. Is to throw those step-in knees and to throw things like that. On top of all of that, he also, I mean, his hands are super fast. He cheats a little bit, which I kind of like. He went to go get taken down.
Cameron Simon.
And grabbed the fence, like, more blatantly than I've ever seen. Oh, no, actually, the funny thing is he's Severino's training partner, the guy who just bit Lima.
Oh.
They train together. So, yeah. Oh,
dear.
Perfect combination. He cheats a little bit. But the thing is that, like, he uses that cheating to scramble well. And I think that those scrambles are going to help him with Robles. I think he stays out of submissions. I think he looks way better on the feet. So I'm going to say at, like, plus 175, plus 180, give me Gordon.
That's what we want to see. Hopefully two big dogs out of the first three. Hopefully when the odds drop, there will be big dogs, and hopefully they both hit. Well, they both will hit. It's Gumby we're talking about here. All right. With all this money we're going to win, thanks to Gumby, you can take some of it, not a lot, but some of it you can take to Game Time. You don't need a lot, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. So deal is the key word there. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, here's some more guaranteed winners for you. Gumby's giving you six this time instead of the usual three. So you're getting a bonus winning pick for you. So, or Gumby's giving himself some more room to have a loss here or there. We're moving up to featherweights. Lance Lawrence, USA. Landry Ward, USA. Definitely a couple of United States style names and a United States style nickname here for Ward, the Lone Star Kid. He's 8-2 with three knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in LFA, 3-1 over his last four, including losing his last fight. He's fight at lightweight, 3 years younger than Lawrence, who is the Tornado. 7-4, one knockout, five submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his LFA debut. Got a lot of people debuting on this here card, or the main part of the card. He's got win over his last three, 2-4 over his last six, which does not sound so hot. Used to fight at lightweight. All right, lay it down for us.
So Ward's going to be a big favorite here. This is the line I'm the most confident in saying it is going to be there. He was in main events recently for LFA. Like, you might remember, we did a card like a couple of months ago, and he was main eventing. It didn't go well for him in that fight, and he's kind of had some troubles. He's been stumbling as of late, and it seems like LFA is doing him a favor, bringing him in here at 7-4 guy from outside of the promotion to kind of get him back on the right track. And I was thinking, you know, like, maybe they're trying to get him back on the right track, or maybe this guy is much better than his record suggests. And when I watched him, I don't think so. My biggest issue is that, like, he seems not to get full extension on his strikes. Like, it seems like he's like fighting all up and close, despite the fact that he's got a pretty long reach. And I think some of that is because he really likes to do jiu-jitsu, and he really looks good with his grappling. Because every single time I've seen somebody shoot a takedown on him, I don't know if he has the worst takedown defense offense I've ever seen, or if he's just so pumped that somebody wants to be on the ground with him that he just lets it happen. But like pretty much every time he's fought, that's what I've seen. It's like somebody shoots a takedown and he's like, oh no, don't do that. And then winds up throwing up arm bars nonstop for the next 5 minutes. And so I think the problem for him in this fight is Landry Ward doesn't want this fight on the ground. Landry Ward very much just wants to have an absolute slobber knocker of a boxing match. And with Lawrence is kind of a tall guy for the division. Ward is even, you know, is matches his size and matches his length. And I think that's going to be a problem for Lawrence, being that he doesn't get full extension on his punches and stuff like that. And then in addition to that, Ward, as you mentioned, so durable. Like, he got the absolute crap kicked out of him in one of his recent fights. And that dude just kept trying to win the fight. So like, I think here against Lawrence, he's going to be the grittier guy. He's going to be the pace pusher. He's going to be the guy with the better striking. And he's just going to choose not to go to the ground, which is where Lawrence wants to fight. So even though he'll probably come in right around mid negative 200s, I'll still take Landry Ward here.
All right. Landry Ward is the pick. That is a Texas style name too, right? Landry Cowboys. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm almost positive he's probably named after Tom Landry.
Yeah, more than you would think, more than likely. All right. Co-main event time. It's a lightweight fight. Keegan Agnew, USA, Richie Miranda, United States of America as well. 3 5-minute rounds at 155 pounds. And I'm going to tell you about Miranda first. El Machete. I have no idea what that translates to, but that's what his nickname is. He's 7-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 4-1 in LFA. Won his last fight via TKO versus Agnew, the violent hippie. What a great nickname, Gumby.
It's phenomenal.
It is one of the best you're going to get. We got some really good ones on this card. The Violent Hippie, Big Tuna, good nicknames, quality. The Violent Hippie is 6-1, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his LFA debut. He did win his last fight. That was back in March of 2023. He's not lost since October of 2022. Was a regional champion, and he's 3 inches taller than the Machete. Oh, that's what it translates to. I get it now. Miranda, go ahead.
So I'm going to say Richie Miranda is going to come in here negative 300, negative 350. This is a guy who's been on the tip of a lot of people's tongues when they're talking about who's going to the UFC next from the lightweight division. I'd be shocked if he wasn't on Contender Series come fall. But I will say if he comes in at negative 300 or negative 350 here, it's probably just a pass spot for me. I think he's going to win the fight. He's going to be my pick to win. But I actually think Keegan Agnew is better than the odds will probably list him at here. I don't love everything about his striking. Like, sometimes it seems like he's throwing punches. He's almost the opposite of Lance Lawrence. He throws punches and like extends so far. And then like his arms, like, don't retreat to his face right away. They just kind of like stay out there. Like, he's trying to show you how hard he hit somebody, or like he's doing a punching machine. But whatever it is, he's accurate with his punches. He has great pace. He fought Austin Hubbard to a decision and had some really great moments in the fight with Austin Hubbard too. The problem is he's just fighting a guy who's got a lot of power in Richie Miranda and has a lot of power in both the hands and the grappling, right? Like, I think Richie Miranda can just plow through you with takedowns. He's got great top positioning. You know, he's like just a guy who's got like a very complete game, in my opinion, which is why people are talking about him going to the UFC. I think Agnew tired in that Austin Hubbard fight, and Miranda can sort of match that pace. So I'm going to pick Miranda, but with like some of the things I've seen from Agnew that are pretty quality, like if it does come in at negative 350, this is like a potential parlay buster. So maybe stay away from just like adding him to all your parlays at a big number like that.
Be cool if the Violent Hippie could make a run though, wouldn't it, Gumby, with that nickname? We need a violent hippie run here.
We need more unique nicknames.
We do. Definitely not just initial ones. All right. You also need more Hall of Fame bets in your life. You win bigger by betting smarter. This NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets, a revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot, which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets. Craft from intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we did the LFA research for you. Now we're gonna do the winning. Actually, you're going to do the winning. The fighters are going to do the winning, and then we're going to cash our are winning tickets. Okay, fine. Enough rambling. Let's get to the main event. No title fight. Just a flyweight fight. 3 5-minute rounds. Is this a weaker LFA card with no title fight, or do you still like the card up and down?
They've been doing more cards with non-title fights as headliners lately. And if I'm not mistaken, Sequeira is coming off of a title fight with Cody Davis.
Yep.
So like it's, you know, they're like title level fighters. Maybe this is a number one contender fight, but they've been doing more like that anyway as they expand their fight card offerings.
Yep. It's, I guess it's hard to do a title fight every week. They pretty much have an event almost every week at this point. So, we're not sneezing at it. Kevin Fernandez is one of the combatants in the main event. He is from the United States versus Igor, Sigueira from Brazil. Sigueira, the golden boy. We just had a golden boy fight in the UFC this past weekend. The results were okay. Didn't look so hot, though. Let's see how Sigueira does. We'll tell you his resume first. 9-2, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, so he needs to go the distance in some of his losses, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. 0-1 in LFA. That was a title fight, I believe Gumby said. 3-1 over his last 4. He got TKO'd in his last fight. That they are a title fight. And he was a regional champion before the LFA adventure. Fernandez, Lil Dragon. 7-1, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-1 LFA. He's won 4 straight, all via finish. 5 years younger than Sigueira, an inch taller. And he also is 2-0 as a pro kickboxer. Over to you.
So I think Fernandez, slight favorite here, maybe like negative 135, negative 145, probably like plus 120 for Sequeira. And I'm going to go with Fernandez here. I think the biggest difference maker here is if you watch Igor's last fight with Cody Davis, and he's taking some time off on this because Cody Davis, if I'm not mistaken, is no longer even the flyweight champ at this point. So, you know, that's been a little bit of a while since we've seen Igor. And in that fight, his biggest issue was just not being able to handle Cody Davis in the clinch. And I don't just mean from a wrestling perspective, because Cody Davis is very good in the clinch from the wrestling perspective. But anytime they tied up, Cody Davis got the better of exchanges. He landed some elbows. He landed some body shots. And that's actually where Kevin Fernandez is his absolute best, in my opinion, is he likes the tie plum. He likes working elbows in there from up close. He works the body. He throws knees. Like, he just wants you in the clinch. And yeah, he's got some takedowns too, and I think he could probably capitalize on those. But even if this fight just like clashes into a clinch all the time, he's going to be the one landing the big shots and probably tiring Igor Sequeira out. So I'm going to go with Kevin Fernandez, probably slight favorite, but I think probably a ton of value if he's only that.
All right. Let's recap this here stuff, and then we'll get out of your orifices and back in them tomorrow with another regional event. All right, Gumby's got Fernandez. He's got Miranda. He's got Ward. He's got Gordon. He's got Valenzuela. He's got Parrish, the big tuna variety of Parrish. Correct? I got all that?
That's correct. Yeah, you got it.
Wow, I did my job. Fantastic. All right. If you want more LFA talk, more Big Tuna talk, more talk of all things MMA, it would be at our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. I've only said that every episode, and I'm stumbling over it now. Twitter is SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. You can find me there on Instagram as well. Where else can you find me? You can find me at my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in there for all my MMA writings and stats stuff I do. And perhaps more importantly, you can win stuff for free. I run a weekly UFC pick'em, which is up and running again for this weekend's UFC Atlantic City. So get in there. Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Sometimes he has LFA people on it. Often he has UFC people on it. Who was on it this week?
We're talking to Kyle the Monster Nelson before he fights at UFC Atlantic City. And then we are talking to the legend of the Ultimate Fighter, I think 11, Court the Crusher McGee is on the show.
Oh, yes. And he's not a retired fighter. He is still, does he have a fight scheduled?
He's got a fight for April 6th, I think it is. He's fighting Alex Morono.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. All right. So listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast for sure. YouTube, Gumby has been yelling at you the past few shows, but subscribers are still ticking up, but we still get more viewers than subscribers. So just hit the subscribe button with all your accounts, all your burner accounts. Borrow, quote unquote, borrow family members or household members' devices. Make sure they subscribe as well. They don't even have to watch your videos. It would help if they did, but they don't have to. Make sure you subscribe there. And what else can you do? Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, of course. Read all our articles, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get all our merch. Get a cool SGP hat like I have on right now. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon so we can crush the corporate gambling overlords. They do not rule us. All right, Gumby, take us out of here, and we'll be back tomorrow.
All right, I'm David Gumby Freeland. He's the violent hippie Jeff Fox, and we will see you on tomorrow.